There was enough panic in Paisley's eyes to make me pause. Darlin', I have a 7,000-pound truck, and we're not talking a tornado like that one. I pointed at Sam. Hey, now. Now, as much as I love you, you're just taking time. I zipped my suitcase closed and hoisted it to the floor. I'll come with you, Sam said. You cannot, Paisley shouted. I'm sorry. If Morgan's driving into a hurricane, she at least needs someone riding shotgun. I took in her beautiful black dress and perfectly done hair. No, she's right, Sam. You are needed here. Sam narrowed her eyes at me. Tell her, Paisley huffed. Grayson was given leave for the ceremony. His plane lands in about an hour. He'll be waiting for you at the White House. Sam's jaw dropped. What? She asked softly. I nodded. Go. You only have 2 days with him, and you're not wasting them driving to North Carolina, so go. She was torn. It was all over her face. I'll be fine, Sam. Go be with Grayson. I hauled my suitcase through the door. But what about the ceremony? Paisley followed me down the hall. I hit the elevator button and turned around. I think this is exactly what Will would want me to do today. In fact, I think this is why he left the truck to me. The doors opened and I got into the elevator, then punched the button for the bottom floor. I love you, Paisley. I love you, Morgan, she cried as the doors shut.
Chapter 30. Jackson. My bag was packed. There was nothing else I could do but wait and think myself to death. I sat on my bed with my back against the headboard, uncaring that my boots were leaving footprints all over my bedding. Finley was at Vivian's. Vivian had most likely broken her leg, if not her entire hip. No one could get to them. Hastings had flown the birds to safety, and Christina was already in Tennessee with family. Everyone else I knew was here. The hurricane was due to hit in 4 hours. Replacements were on their way. It wasn't like we could leave the people here without aid. Logically, I knew that. Emotionally, I was clawing at the sides of my cage, cursing my own inability to protect my daughter. My phone rang and I startled. The power had gone out in Buxton an hour ago, and I told Finn to conserve her battery. Wait, Morgan? Morgan? I swiped the phone to answer. Shit, today was the ceremony, wasn't it? Was it still the same day? They shut the Virginia Dare Bridge, she shouted. How do I get over the sound? My heart beat just a little softer with the sound of her voice. God, I missed her. What? Kitty, it's really fucking loud. Are you in a car wash? Why was she asking about the bridge? No, I'm not in a car wash. Why the hell would I be in a car wash? They shut the Virginia Dare Bridge, Jackson. I drove an hour out of my way because I knew the others were already closed. But now this one is too. How do I get over the sound? She shouted. I sat up straight. I know you didn't ask what I think you just did. Cut the shit, she yelled. Kitty, please tell me that you're in D.C. with your friends. My chest constricted. I can tell you that, but I'd be lying, Jackson. I need to get across the sound. Please, it's already so bad out here. My eyes slid shut and I pulled the phone from my face as I fought for control. No. God, not Morgan, too. No. Jackson! You turn around and you go inland. Those bridges are going to hell and the storm surge is already at the high tide line. Fuck, I don't even know if you can get across the Oregon Inlet Bridge if you do make it across the sound. So please, Morgan, please do not do this. She couldn't know, could she? How would she? I'm not leaving without Finley, and Vivian can't move. Fuck, how do you know? Finley called me. My door opened and Sawyer leaned in, no doubt because I was screaming like a madman. Morgan, you can't do this. The Mini will get swept away. Please, baby, don't do this. I have the truck and I know the rule. If you can't see the bottom of the water, don't drive through it. My eyes flew wide and Sawyer must have heard her because he nodded. It's a heavy-ass truck. That doesn't apply to ocean waves. I wasn't scared. This was 3 billion levels beyond scared. I was fucking terrified. They're expecting a 12-foot storm surge. I've seen Vivian's house, Jackson. It can't take it. We both know it, and we both know there's only one house that can. Hers. There wasn't enough oxygen in this fucking room. I'm the best shot Finley has. Sawyer leaned against the wall and nodded slowly. Are you seriously going to sit there and let this happen? I'm right here, Jackson. I'm an hour away at most. That's 3 hours before landfall. I can make it. I can't lose you too. My voice shook as hard as my hand. Driving is driving no matter where you do it. She did not fucking go there. Sawyer walked across the room, took the phone and hit speaker. Where are you, Morgan?
Sawyer?
Yep. Don't you fucking dare put her in danger. I hissed at my best friend. She already put herself in danger. For Finley, Jax. All I'm doing is helping her out. Where are you, Morgan?
I'm just outside the Virginia Dare Bridge. It's closed to incoming traffic.
They're evacuating as many people as they can. All right, I want you to go north to the William Umstead. Find it on the GPS. I fucking hate you, I seethed. Hate me tomorrow, brother. His mouth flattened.
Got it. I'm on my way.
Stay on the line, would you, Morgan? I think it might make Jax feel a little better.
Okay, God, it's hard to see. The rain is coming in hard.
And it's just going to get even sportier out there, Sawyer responded.
I see the bridge. It's closer than I thought. Shit, there's a guy and a concrete barrier.
Shit. Wait, I was supposed to feel relieved. I didn't want Morgan on the island. But if Morgan didn't get to Finley, there was a high chance she wouldn't make it. Morgan was right. Vivian's house wasn't made to sustain that high a surge. Was I seriously about to risk Morgan's life for Finley's? How the hell could I ask her that? There's always a guy in a barrier, Sawyer noted. Go to the left. There will be space to the left. I know how they set those up, I said, hating myself the whole time.
Okay, I see it. I can make it.
The rain filled the gaps in conversation hard enough that it sounded like she was in a storm of golf balls.
Sorry,
I snorted a laugh. Only Morgan would apologize to the guard when she blew right by him. Tell me you have gas.
3/4 of a tank, she confirmed. It's raining, but I'm okay. The bridge is good.
Well, yeah, she's not out there yet, Sawyer whispered, his face tense. She shouldn't be out there, I snapped. But she was Finley and Vivian's only chance.
Okay, I'm in Monteo. How's the weather down there anyway?
She shouted over the barrage of rain. My eyes just about popped out of my head. Could you just concentrate on driving?
Bet you're glad I'm not in your ear during a rescue, huh?
Don't even start with me, Kitty. Fuck. I was going to throttle her the next time I saw her. Then I was going to kiss the shit out of her. Just let them live.
Here we go. There's 64. Sorry, I know, sorry. I think I just pissed off whatever's left of the state patrol out here, Jackson.
Trust me, they have bigger fish to fry than to chase you down. Now listen to me. You're getting out to shore, and the wind is going to start throwing things around, so keep your eyes open. I leaned forward as if it would help.
Okay.
A minute, maybe two, passed with only the sound of rain against the truck.
I'm on 12.
Good job, baby. Now just take it steady.
Whoa!
Morgan?
Sorry, there, I think that was plywood, but it missed me.
My heart jumped into my fucking throat.
Oh, look, there's another person out here. Nice to know I'm not alone. It's really windy, though.
It's just going to get windier. And harder, and rainier, and then the surge would hit. Sawyer flipped his phone around so I could see the screen. The station clocked the wind at 96 miles per hour 5 minutes ago. Fuck. Morgan, what's in the back of the truck? Why the hell didn't I think sooner?
About 400 pounds of sand. Grayson called before I got too far and told me to stop and buy some.
Good. Grayson was my new favorite person in the entire fucking world. Can you see the water yet?
I'm just now clearing the residential. Holy shit.
My head fell to my hands. How bad is it?
It's... everything is white. And huge. Holy shit, Jackson. It's coming up the beach. It's past the high tide line.
The storm surge was coming. Sawyer leaned his head back against the wall and shut his eyes. Okay, let's look at the road, Kitty. Can you still see it?
The rain is coming at me sideways, but there's no standing water on it.
I nodded like she could see me or some shit. I need you to listen to me. Can you hear me?
I got you.
Morgan, this is the easiest part of the drive. Soon, You're going to have to go over the new Bonner Bridge. Do you remember it?
God, I hate that thing.
Yeah, well, just be careful. It should drain the water, but you want to make sure you go a little slower on it so
I don't hydroplane. I know how to fucking drive, Jackson.
I threw my hands up, and Sawyer snorted.
Okay, I'm coming up to the bridge,
she said after what felt like forever.
And I'm on it.
She'd be up in the air for 2.8 miles.
This thing is moving,
she sang. I could almost see her biting her lip and gripping the wheel. Why the hell weren't we there? What good were we all the way down here when our families needed us?
How's the bridge? Sawyer asked.
I'll tell you when I'm off it.
He lifted his eyebrows. Tense moments passed where all I could do was stare at the phone and pray. Sawyer flashed his phone. The winds were up to 99.
I'm off. Thank you, sweet baby Jesus.
My shoulders sagged in relief.
It really pushed me around up there, but I'm okay. It's getting hard to see, though. The windshield wipers can't keep up.
Okay, now before you bite my head off, do you remember asking me about the road washing out the day I took you to Avon?
Yeah, that's where the road's close to the beach, right?
You got it. Listen to me, baby. If that road is washed out, turn around and go back. You have no idea how deep and fast that water will be. It would be like driving the truck straight into the ocean. Do you understand me? Silence. Morgan.
I understand. I'm not leaving Finley to get washed away, Jackson.
I can't lose either of you. My head dropped. Sawyer put his hand on my shoulder.
You won't. I'm going to make it in time. I promise. The surge isn't up that far. It can't be. Now hush and let me drive.
But it wouldn't be the surge. That section of road would go down to the waves.
Holy Lord, that water is creeping up. I'm at Rodanth,
she called out the update. Okay. I didn't want her to think she was alone. My nails dug into my arms.
Shit,
she shouted. Morgan? Pretty sure I drew blood.
The wind.
Another minute passed.
I'm okay. The wind just pushed me clean onto the shoulder. I'm okay.
If I never heard the sound of rain again, I'd be just fine with it.
Avon! Oh my God, I think that's a porta potty. There's stuff flying everywhere. Shit, there's water on the road, but it's not up to the curb yet.
I was going to vomit any second now.
Leaving Avon.
She was getting close. Do you know if the road is still there? I whispered to Sawyer. He lifted his shoulders and shook his head. She could be driving straight into the water.
The waves? I can see the waves and...
Shit! Skidding tires.
Okay, well, the water's coming up over the road here with every wave.
I jolted. Turn around.
No.
Morgan, I love you. Please turn around. Go back to Avon.
What did you say to me that night? People will die if I don't leave right now?
Every muscle in my body locked. Don't do it. Don't do it.
I'm okay, Jackson. It doesn't look that deep. I'm going to get your little girl.
The rain cut out. The sound stopped. Morgan? Kitty, are you there? Morgan! Morgan was gone. The call had ended. I grabbed the phone and dialed her number. Ring, 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 ring.
All circuits are busy.
Fuck! I screamed and slammed my phone on the bed. She's okay. It's the cell tower, not her. She's okay. What can I do? Sawyer asked quietly. Put me on a fucking plane.
Chapter 31. Morgan. Morgan, when it's time to let go, you have to let go. Fall in love. Get married. Have all those babies you want. Just be happy. I hope the guy knows just how lucky he is, because I took way too long to recognize it. Go. Love. Live. I'll be watching, cheering you on. My hands cramped around the steering wheel. I wasn't holding on so much as I was clutching the damned thing. NC-12 was washed over, but not washed out. Not yet. I made it through and on to Hatteras Island. Visibility was shit, and I'd skirted two pontoon boats before curving with the road into Buxton. The roads were underwater. How much? It couldn't be that much, right? I kept an eye on anything that could clue me into the depth and made my way slowly through the streets. Go away, Ingrid. You're not welcome, Ingrid. There were countless variations painted on the boards of houses I passed. Some had previous hurricane names lined through, and Ingrid painted over. Rain pelted the back window now that I'd turned, increasing the visibility slightly, but I knew it would only be twice as bad once we were headed back. There it was, Vivian's house. I pulled into the driveway, then said a prayer that she'd forgive me for assaulting her grass, and pulled up so the doors opened right in front of the staircase. I put the truck in park but left it running. I still had a half tank, and I wasn't taking any chances that something would happen and it wouldn't start again. I zipped up the raincoat I'd bought at the Virginia border and scoffed at the umbrella from the same store, like that was actually going to help. Then I pocketed my cell phone in the water-resistant pocket of the jacket. It was a gamble, but I wasn't going to chance missing his call if Jackson could get through. God knew, it had only been his voice and steady, calming presence that had gotten me through Avon. I hadn't felt alone in those terrifying miles. The truck doors were sheltered from the worst of the wind because of the garage, and I got the driver's door open easily. The steps up to the front door were slick, and though the house was now blocking the wind, there was no quiet in the sound of rending metal as the gutters ripped from the house. Keep going. She's right here. I made it to the deck, and then pounded on the door. Finley, it's Morgan! Open the door! I waited what seemed like an eternity before starting again. Finley opened the door and looked up at me with wide eyes. I scooped her into my arms and slammed the door shut. The house was dim. Morgan? She clung to my neck. You're all wet! I've got her, Jackson. I made it. She was here and safe and alive. Now I just had to keep her that way. Hey, Finn. Taking a selfish extra moment to hold her tight, I pressed a kiss to her hair, then put her down. I'm so glad to see you. I thought you were gone. I was, but I heard you needed some help, so now I'm here. I smoothed back her hair from her face. Take me to Grandma, would you? She nodded and led me through the entry, past the dining room and into the living room, which was only lit by three small exposed windows that topped ones that had already been boarded up. Hi, Vivian. How are you feeling? I asked, sitting on the edge of the coffee table. Morgan? Vivian was in the same position as when I'd called last, but she struggled to sit. No, don't move. I came to take you guys to my house. My eyes darted around the room, looking for something that would keep her legs stable. Finn, honey, why don't you get dressed? Juno wound herself through my feet. And pack up the menagerie. We're getting out of here.
Okay,
Finn took off upstairs. I'm not leaving. Vivian stared me down with a look of authority that might have gotten me about 5 years ago. I stayed during Irene, and I'm staying now. Can I see your leg? She pulled back the blanket and lifted the hem of her shorts. That sucker was broken, and if I had to guess, it was in multiple places. Right, that's broken. What's the highest storm surge this house has ever seen? I raised my eyebrows at her. 9 feet, she nodded. They're now expecting 14. It's hitting at high tide on a full moon. Maybe I could break apart a chair or find some kind of bench to strap her to.
They always overestimate,
she waved me off.
Lunar tide. Now that's a pickle. But I'd be willing to gamble that we don't see over 10.
10 would put water in her first floor. Are you willing to gamble Finn's life? I asked, keeping my voice quiet so Finn couldn't hear. Vivian startled. You really think it's going to be that bad?
Do you think I would have driven down from D.C. if I thought you'd be okay? Your leg is broken. Finn is 5 years old. What would you do when water gushes in your door? I can't leave Finn here. She is coming with me, but I won't leave you here either.
Her mouth pursed as fear skated over her face.
But where would we go? My house can take a 14-foot storm surge. It can probably take 18. I remodeled to hurricane-proof it this year. It's supposed to stand through a Cat 4, and this is just a strong 3. But we have to go now. The water is rising, and if we don't make it to the shore in time, we'll be stuck here.
I scratched Juno's head and mentally started counting. If she wouldn't come with us in the next 5 minutes, I was going to have to knock her out and drag her.
Imagine heading toward the shore and not inland, she humped. Let's go then.
My shoulders sagged with relief, but I couldn't afford the time to savor it. We had to move quickly. I found a shorter length of 2x4 by the door and used belts to splint the area under her leg the best I could. I apologized the whole time she screamed. Finley's eyes were wide as she watched. "Are the animals all packed up?" I asked, watching the clock. The house moved with a groan. Finn nodded.
"Except Cousteau."
"Right, the fish. Okay, get everybody by the door and put on your raincoat." I patted her on the back and she ran off. 5 minutes later, I had Cousteau in a water-filled Tupperware container. Philip and Barnaby were in separate carriers at the bottom of a large beach bag. I slid Cousteau in on top and met Finley in the entry, where she had Juno in her carrier. I got down to her eye level. "Okay, Finn, it's windy and rainy and really scary out there, okay?" She nodded, but her mouth trembled. "We have to go because Grandma's house isn't high enough to keep you dry, so we have to get to my house, understand?" I zipped up her raincoat. She nodded. "I need you to listen really carefully and do exactly as I say. And sometimes it might be scary, but we're going to be okay. I'm going to take Grandma to the truck, and I want you to wait right here until I come get you." I needed Finley in the safest place, and right now, that was the house. In an hour, it wouldn't be.
"My mommy left,"
she whispered, tightening her grip on Juno's carrier. I bit back the anger that saturated my tongue when I thought about Claire heading to an audition. That was the last thing Finley needed. I cupped her cheeks in my hands. "I will not leave you. Not now. Not today. Not ever. I promise."
"Because you love Daddy?"
Her eyes filled with tears.
"Because I love you. I came all the way back. That's how much I love you. I even made a policeman very mad to get to you. I won't leave you, Finn. You're the only reason I'm here."
I wiped her tears with my thumbs.
"Are you ready?"
She nodded, and I pressed a kiss to her forehead. "You wait right here with Juno. Promise."
"I promise."
The winds blew impossibly harder, and the rain fell in driving sheets as I took Vivian out of the house, dragging her by her armpits.
"Hold on to the bag,"
I ordered her, and she pulled Finn's pets closer. Then I walked backward down the steps, dragging her along at an angle so that the 2x4 slid instead of thumped.
"Hold on,"
I shouted once we made it to the bottom. A trampoline flew by, flipping end over end down the road. "Don't even think about it. Just keep moving." I got the back door open, and with Vivian hopping, we managed to get her across the back seat.
"Buckle up. I'm grabbing Finn."
I shut the door, which was no easy feat, even given the shelter from the garage. I raced up the stairs and looked out over the neighborhood from the top of the deck. The surge was here. Water pushed in with each wave, and it had already overtaken the houses up the block. "The dune will protect your house. You can get there." I threw open the door and held my arms out for Finn, silently thanking Jackson for buying her backpack carrier. Finn rushed at me with obvious relief, and I lifted her into my arms.
"Do you have your phone?"
She nodded.
"But not my clothes. They're upstairs."
"We don't need them." "Okay, hold on tight, Finn, no matter what. Understand?" I locked one arm under her butt and clamped the other one around her back. Then I took the little girl I loved more than the world out into the storm. She plastered her face against my neck as I made my way down the steps, careful not to slip. Everything was slick. I opened the driver's door and lifted her inside.
"Crawl over the console."
She did it. I climbed in and grunted as I hauled the door shut. It closed, thank God.
"I'm not allowed to ride in the front seat."
Finn looked at me with raised eyebrows. "And without a booster, too." I shrugged. "I'm hoping your dad will forgive me." Wasn't I just mother of the year? Or stepmother? Or quasi-not-quite-girlfriend current custody haver? Whatever. "Buckle up," I ordered as I did the same. She put Juno's carrier on the ground and buckled. Then I drove through the grass of Vivian's front yard.
"I'm sorry."
"Don't mention it,"
she said from the back seat. Her voice was weak, and I knew that both bracing her broken leg and moving her down to the truck had taken what little strength she had left. It was impossible to see. The rain drove straight at us. I memorized as much as I could between the squalls and crept carefully onto NC-12. Oh, my word, Vivian exclaimed from the back seat.
What's that? Finley asked.
Hold on, I ordered, watching the huge shape fly toward us. The wind took it left, and I swerved right.
I think that was a roof, Vivian said softly.
I was too busy gulping for breaths to say anything. We passed the bakery I loved and the auto parts store as the wind and rain tore at us, pushing us the way it wanted us to go as I fought to keep us on the road. There was a lot more water now, but it looked like rainwater. There was no foam. We turned onto Old Lighthouse Road, and I cringed. Here was the foam blowing in from the ocean in giant streaks of white between the huge beach houses. Sand had blown all over the road, making it hard to see the edges. Think of it as off-roading, I told Finley as a powerful gust of wind pushed us close to the curb.
Have you been off-roading a lot?
She questioned, looking out the side because she was too short to see over the dash.
Actually, yes. In this very truck, as a matter of fact.
I gripped the wheel and forced our way through the sludge of water and sand. The houses drew closer to the shore, but I refused to look and see if the dunes held. We were committed now. We'd either make it to my house or be swept away trying. The houses ended, and we entered the tiny stretch of road that belonged to just Jackson and me. Without the other houses to shield us from the wind, we were exposed, and it took twice as much effort to keep us on the road. Almost there, Jackson. We're almost there. I would have given anything to hear his voice through the speakers, to hear him tell me that I'd made the right choice in bringing them here. We pulled into my driveway, and I nearly wept with relief until I saw the water crest in the dune, then breaching it. The waves came in time with my slamming heartbeats as the water carved a rivulet that quickly became a creek. It would be an inlet in a matter of minutes. I hit the gas, careful not to spin out, and took us toward my stairs. The wind was impossibly strong, and the water oozed forward, reaching my pilings. I parked with my side closest to the stairs. Okay, same thing, just in reverse. Got it, Finn? You're going in first, and then I'm bringing Grandma. She nodded solemnly, and I'd never been so glad that she was short. If she could see what we were walking out into, she would have sobbed like I wanted to. The door wouldn't budge. The wind was too strong.
You have got to be kidding me!
The water was coming in faster. There was no telling how long we had. We needed the height of the steps to get us all out safely. Think, Morgan. Think.
Got it.
I drove forward, then turned us around in the middle of our yards, taking out a section of Jackson's fence in the process. This time, I angled the truck close to 45 degrees and threw it into park when Finn's side was closest, pocketing the keys. Come here, Finn. I lifted her through the back seat to stand in front of Vivian, then climbed into Finn's seat, bracing my back on the console. I placed my feet on either side of the handle, opened the door, and pushed with everything I had. The wind did the rest. The door whipped open unnaturally, slamming into the steel on the other side and destroying the hinges.
Forgive me, Will.
Even with the relative shelter of the dune, the wind did its best to keep me inside the cab.
Time to go, Finn!
I lifted her over the console, then stepped onto my stairs and held out my arms.
Close your eyes, baby!
Through the slats of the staircase, I saw water gush beneath us. The dune was going quickly. Finley reached, and I gathered her tight. Her little legs wrapped around my waist as I took the steps one at a time, fighting for each and every one. I kept one hand on the railing, and the other locked around Finn as we climbed. My legs strained and burned with the effort it took to make it. Category 3 meant these winds were probably up over 100 miles an hour by now, but I didn't want to think about it. We made it to the deck, and I struggled across the few feet that lacked a railing to make it to the alcove that sheltered my front door. The scant amount of windbreak made all the difference, and with a twist of my key, we were inside. I lowered Finley to the ground. Go wait in the armchair right there in the living room, okay? I'm getting Grandma Vivian. Her eyes seemed frozen in the widest position, and I thanked God that I'd closed the steel shutters. Otherwise, she would have had double the reason to be terrified. We were about to be surrounded by water. I will come right back. I promise, you are not alone. Finn nodded, and I raced for the door. The wind knocked me on my ass as I ran for the deck, sweeping my feet clean out from underneath me. Damn it! I shouted, already fighting to get to the staircase. I bumped down on my butt to give myself the smallest profile possible. The water was up to the rims on the truck, and Vivian's back filled the front passenger doorway. How did you get up here? I shouted over the roar of the wind. I'm not helpless, she yelled back over her shoulder, the beach bag safely in her lap. I gripped under her arms and hoisted her from the truck, then began the long trek back into the house. By the time I reached the foyer, I was exhausted. My muscles shook with the effort it took to get Vivian to the couch, but I got her there, now to close the door.
Juno!
Finn cried. I turned, expecting to see the cat involved in something awful as usual, but Finn stared at me.
She's in the truck, she sobbed. I forgot her.
Okay, I said mostly to myself. Okay, I was not going to let her cat drown in a damned backpack. I was more cautious this time, crossing the rain-slick deck, and made it to the truck as water crept up the rims. A quick glance behind me showed a canyon forming in the dune, and not just one. The ocean was coming. I stepped into the truck and grabbed Juno, slinging her onto my back. Then I looked up. Will's wings were still tacked to the visor, and my sea glass pendant from Jackson dangled from the rearview mirror. I had time. I could get them. The dune gave way behind me. Wings or sea glass? There was only time for one. The water was coming. Wings, sea glass, Will, Jackson. I gripped the sea glass pendant in my fist and yanked with all the strength I had in me, breaking the clasp on the chain. Then I lunged for the staircase. Water soaked my shoes as it flowed through my stairs all the way to the third step, and I stumbled up a few steps higher to relative safety before I turned around. The sea rushed into the cab through the open door, and I watched in horror as the truck rocked slowly toward the driver's side. The next wave came. They were only seconds apart now, and swept the truck away with the torrent of water that now flew freely from the ocean. Goodbye, Will, I whispered into the howling wind. Then I made my way up the stairs and into the house, shutting and locking the door behind me as the storm raged hungrily against the frame of the house.
Juno!
Finn came rushing at me, and I slid the backpack down my arms and handed it to her. She undid the top, and Juno scurried out and away with Finley trailing after her. I took my cell phone from my pocket. No bars, no service. The towers had to be down. We made it, Jackson. Then I collapsed against the wall of the foyer, just like I had the day Jackson told me he was deploying. How scared I'd been that I would bury him when I'd just spent the better part of 3 hours taking every chance that he'd bury me. I could have died and left it all unspoken, left him wondering how I really felt when I'd known all along, known and been too stubborn and scared to voice it. And for what? To protect my heart from the very pain I nearly caused him? The house groaned as the ocean rushed beneath us. I'd rebuilt this house as I'd rebuilt my soul. Strong enough to withstand the storm, but where I'd hurricane-proofed the frame so I could survive, I'd failed to rebuild my heart to live. And I desperately wanted to. I wanted a life and a future. I wanted kids and laughter and sleepless nights. I wanted those things with Jackson. I wanted Finley. I wanted everything that came with love in both of them. And the minute the cell service turned back on, I would tell him.
I wouldn't waste another day avoiding the things beyond my control, and instead I would grasp every chance at happiness that came along. I made my vow, held the sea glass pendant to my forehead, then tucked Finley into my side and prayed we'd survive till morning. Chapter 32. Morgan. Was this how Noah felt the first time he cracked the door open on the Ark? By noon the next day, the winds had died, the rain had ceased pummeling the windows, and I finally felt brave enough to raise the steel shutters. I held my breath as the ocean came into view, still angry and white-capped. "How bad is it?" Vivian asked as I opened the sliding glass door. The wind blustered, but it wasn't a full-on assault. I'm about to find out. I glanced from my cell phone, noting the lack of bars, to Finley, who sat at my dining room table playing with my iPad. The deck felt solid beneath my feet as I walked toward the railing where my knees nearly gave out. The dune was demolished. So was Jackson's house. My hand flew to my mouth when I saw the devastation. The pilings had completely collapsed, taking Jackson's house down to the sand. That must have been the thunderous crack in the middle of the storm. Half of his home had washed away, leaving the rest like an open-faced dollhouse that had seen a war. My heart ached for what he'd lost.
"Can I come out?" Finley asked from the dining room.
I whipped around and forced a smile to my face. "Not yet, Finn. It's still pretty windy." She wasn't able to see the damage from where she stood, and I wasn't about to break her heart. I closed the door behind me and kissed the top of her head. "What do you say we put on a movie?" She nodded, her eyelids already drooping with exhaustion as I set her up in the armchair so she wouldn't bump Vivian, who took up the couch. There hadn't been much sleep last night. "Give me a couple minutes to check things out," I said softly to Vivian.
"I'm fine. Don't worry about me."
Of course, I was worried. She was in some serious trouble. I opened my front door and sagged with relief. This portion of the deck had made it too, and the stairs were still there. Seaweed covered most of the steps, and there was a scent I couldn't quite place that would probably have overpowered my senses had the wind not still been whipping. My stomach sank. I didn't need to trudge through the mud around the base of my house to check on my Mini Cooper. It was lodged in the wall of the boathouse. My garage door? Who knew? There was no sign of Will's truck. We were good and stranded, and we weren't the only ones. According to the emergency radio, Hatteras Island had been cut off when a stretch of NC-12 washed out south of Avon. It could take weeks to repair. Vivian didn't have weeks, or even days. She needed medical attention now. I looked up to the skies and assessed the ceiling. It was still overcast, but safe for flight. We just needed a big enough signal. In hushed tones, so I wouldn't wake Finn from her well-deserved nap, I explained my plan to Vivian.
"You're sure you want to do this?"
Her face was tight with pain that Tylenol wasn't touching. "I think it's our only shot. Cell service is still out. Your leg needs to be set, and we didn't grab your insulin while making our escape. If you have another idea, then I'm all ears, but right now, this is all I've got." She sighed, the skin puckering between her eyebrows.
"Okay, but only if you let me help repaint once the weather is nice enough."
"Deal," I offered, though I had zero intention of taking her up on it. "I'll be right back." I pulled the 5-gallon bucket of red paint from the storage closet, stuck a paintbrush and screwdriver into my back pocket, then carried it all onto the deck. Then I started painting. It took the better part of an hour, but I was now the proud owner of a giant red X on my deck and enormous letters that read, H-E-L-P. Then I checked on Vivian and Finn and settled in for the long haul. I evaluated our supplies, then gauged the fuel level in the generator. Just as I'd come inside and made peace with becoming a somewhat more eccentric version of Tom Hanks in Castaway, the sound of rotor blades beat the air.
"Daddy!"
Finley raced for the sliding glass door.
"Hold up! I barely beat her there."
Sure enough,
Hovering above us was a rescue swimmer descending from the rope of a Coast Guard SAR helicopter. I knew it was impossible, but my heart skipped anyway. I hadn't seen Jackson in almost 2 months, and while these weren't the best circumstances for a heart-to-heart, I was ready to keep the vow I'd made last night. "Are you Montgomery's girl?" he shouted as his feet hit my deck. I nodded. "Is that him?" The guy looked at me like I was crazy. "No, he's deployed, right?"
"Right."
Guess this was not my movie moment.
"Hastings is flying. He saw the X. The entire island is cut off. They'll probably start evacuating who they can tomorrow, but we have room for two more."
He had to yell the words to be heard over the noise. Two, not three. This wasn't even a made-for-television moment. So I did what any woman in my situation would do. I sent Vivian and Finley to safety. Even though they both protested, one loudly and with many tears, because I couldn't hide what had happened to her house. Then I was alone. Unless I counted the four animals I was now responsible for, Juno wound herself through my legs, confirming that she counted. I was one of the only humans she found acceptable, but I still made a mental note to hide all my shoes. Finley and Vivian were safe. And my house still stood. I sent up a prayer of thanks. Exhausted beyond all belief, I curled up on the couch and propped my cell phone on the coffee table, watching those service bars like a hawk in hope they'd return. I had a vow to keep.
Chapter 33. Jackson. You fucking what? I charged at Hastings in the middle of the Elizabethtown Air Station. I only had room for two more, Montgomery. So you just left her there? I came around the table at him. She's been out there, all alone since yesterday. There are hundreds of people out there. What do you want me to do? He put his hands up, which caught me off guard long enough to stop myself from beating him to death. I wanted you to rescue my girlfriend, I shouted. That term didn't even remotely come close to what Morgan meant to me, and she'd probably deny it was even true. Sawyer flanked my right, and Garrett took my left. We're running round-the-clock evacs on serious cases, Jax, and I rescued your daughter and her grandmother because Morgan chose to save them. Now calm the hell down. Three other pilots stared at us like we were the evening entertainment. Calm down? Where's Christina right now? I spat. In Tennessee, with her family. Morgan is on a hurricane-ravaged island. I have no idea how much food she has or gas for her generator, so do not tell me to calm down. Why don't we back this up a little? Garrett suggested, laying one hand on my shoulder. Recognizing that I was only 6 inches away from Hastings's face, I retreated a few steps and rubbed a hand over my eyes. My eyelids felt like sandpaper. Finley's at the hospital? I confirmed, making sure I'd heard him right. Yes. They admitted Vivian for observation and they're all safe and sound, Hastings assured me. Finley was safe. Morgan wasn't. Give me your helicopter. I'm sorry? Hastings' eyebrows shot up. You heard me. I want your fucking helicopter. Did I stutter? Startled, Sawyer's gaze swung between Hastings and me. Yeah, what he said. We want your helicopter. Exactly how much crew rest have you had, Jax? Hastings folded his arms over his chest. 8 hours, I answered with a shrug. Over the last 3 days, Garrett muttered. I turned a slow glare on him. Just trying to keep you alive, my friend. Love you like a brother, and you know I'm down for going after Morgan, but you're not safe to fly. I didn't say I had to fly it. Hastings tilted his head. I'm listening.
Chapter 34. Morgan. I had a fish in a vase on my kitchen counter, a turtle in my bathtub, a guinea pig in what was supposed to be a shabby chic decorative birdcage, and a cat curled up on my lap as I rested on the couch. Finn had been a ridiculously responsible pet owner and packed food for all her charges in a pocket of the cat carrier. But since Juno had gone through her 2 allotted cans of cat food, she was now licking tuna from my pantry off her paws. My hands ached from setting my garage to rights, which had consumed my morning, but I still managed to hold my book. I checked my cell phone for the 100th time in the last hour, but there was still no service. Logically, I knew Finn and Vivian were fine. They'd probably been airlifted straight to the hospital. But I wanted a little reassurance, and I would have killed to hear Jackson's voice. Hopefully, he knew they were safe. I had a billion things I wanted to tell him, none of which included the state of his house. Rotors beat the air, but I didn't jump off the couch. The Coast Guard had been up and down the island, evacuating emergency medical cases, so the sound had become more than commonplace. The police officer who stopped by this morning told me they were hoping to have cell service up by tomorrow, and they were evacuating people by ferry based on levels of need. With Finley and Vivian safe, I figured my need wasn't as pressing as the others around me. And I definitely wasn't about to ask to evac Finn's zoo. The steady thump of rotor blades didn't retreat. Bang, bang, bang. I jumped, looking up from my book to see a coastie at my sliding glass door. Guess Hastings had come back. I climbed off the couch and tried not to trip over Juno as I made my way to the door. Then I flipped the lock and slid the glass open to look up at my own reflection in a visor. "Hi, can I help you?" I shouted over the noise of the hovering helicopter. He said something into his helmet, and the bird flew away. He'd unhooked his tether. What the hell? The guy unsnapped his helmet, yanked it off, and tucked it under his... Jackson! This had to be a dream, right? But the air still smelled like post-hurricane funk, and surely I wouldn't imagine that. I threw myself at him. He caught me, tugging me close as the air fell quiet around us. Thank you, God. We stumbled backward and he set his helmet on the table, then wrapped both his arms around me and held tight. It was the first time I'd felt safe since he'd deployed. "Tell me you're okay," he said against my temple. I lifted my head and smiled. "I love you." His eyes flared wide. "I love you, Jackson," I said again, just so he knew I meant it. I promised myself that the minute the cell service came back up, I'd tell you, but doing it in person is so much better. Our mouths met in a kiss, and the world righted itself as his lips moved with mine. It was sweet and desperate, all in the same breath. He yanked back with narrowed eyes. "But you're okay, right? You're not hurt?" Well, Finley and Vivian were evacuated. Finn was fine, but Vivian's leg was a disaster, and we didn't pack her insulin when we fled her house, but I'm assuming they're okay since Hastings flew them out. How are they? He told me, and we'll get to that in a second. I'm asking about you. His eyes raked down my frame. Wait, you haven't seen them yet? I told you that the minute I got off that plane. I was coming for you. Remember?
Mercy, I did. And he'd come for me. My heart didn't just fly, it soared.
And I knew they were safe, but you weren't. So I'm here. Now put me out of my misery and tell me if you're hurt.
His eyebrows furrowed. I'm fine. A little scraped up in places, but nothing to worry about. My stomach dropped. Oh, Jackson, your house.
His mouth said in a firm line. I know. It was kind of hard to miss as we flew up. But there wasn't anything in it that can't be replaced, except the house itself. That might be a little tricky with the location, but I'm not worried. I was scared shitless about you.
His hands rose to cradle my face.
You came back for Finn.
Of course I did. But I also put her in so much danger. We almost didn't make it in time. Had I made the right judgment call?
You saved her life, and Vivian's. That house, and three more on that block, collapsed. I'll never be able to thank you enough.
His voice broke. You don't have to thank me.
The thought of what could have happened was enough to weaken my knees.
I only did what you would have. I don't deserve you, he whispered, setting his forehead on mine.
I could say the same exact thing.
So why don't we agree that we deserve each other and go from there?
His neck was warm and strong under my fingers.
I love you, Jackson.
and I'm sorry it took me so long to say it. I don't know if I can stay, he blurted, stroking his thumbs over my cheeks. They granted us all emergency leave, but it's still up in the air if we'll need to return.
My belly churned, but I nodded. Okay, then we'll deal with it no matter what they decide.
He startled. What changed?
2 months ago, that would have put you on the floor.
And it still might, I confessed. But my love for you is bigger than the fear. And I'll handle the months you're gone if it means I get a lifetime of loving you.
He kissed me hard and quick.
I get it now. And I don't blame you for telling me to get out months ago. That half hour on the phone with you was fucking terrifying. You were in so much danger, and I couldn't do shit but sit there and pray.
I cringed slightly. I put the rescue above my life, and I'm sorry, but I'm not. I also recognize the irony that I couldn't keep the very promise you made for me.
He huffed a laugh.
I knew you were doing it for Finley. You risked your life to save my daughter. I was so furious with you. And yet I'd never loved you more.
I smiled. So you do still love me?
I love you more than my own life, Morgan. You're all I want, you and me and Finley. For the rest of my life, you're it. I will spend every day making you impossibly happy and incredibly aggravated. But I hope the first more than the last, if you'll have me.
My heart leaped. That sounds like a proposal.
If I thought I had the barest shot of getting you to agree to marry me, it would be. But I know you're cautious.
Yes, I blurted. His eyebrows rose, and his eyes lit up. Yes, I repeated. I'm done waiting to be happy or looking for the other shoe to drop. I'm done being careful and keeping my heart in a box when it already belongs to you. If anything, the last few days have shown me how quickly it can all vanish, so I'm grabbing onto this. I slid my hands down to his chest and gripped his flight suit, grabbing onto you with both hands and a full heart.
Kitty, he whispered, and if you were just joking, that's okay too. But if you really meant it, then feel free to ask whenever you want, because my answer is yes.
He laughed. I should plan it all out. But I'm not going to.
Wait, do you want kids? More kids, I mean. That's probably something I should know, because I did.
Lots of them.
He blinked, then smiled with his whole face.
I do. Do you want the one I already have?
More than anything, I answered. It would be a shame to toss her out after all the work I just went through to save her.
God, I love you.
He kissed me, soft and slow, and when our lips parted, he swept in deep. My fingers curled in his flight suit, and I returned his kiss with all the love I felt for him.
Marry me, Morgan Bartley.
2 years later. The peach cobbler looked perfect. Everything about this weekend was pretty perfect, actually. The weather was gorgeous. I'd scored 6 uninterrupted hours of sleep last night, and Jackson even managed to have all of Labor Day weekend off. Whoa, that smells good. Need any help? Sam asked as she walked into the kitchen, tying her curls into a ponytail. Thanks. I could definitely use a hand. I think that's the last of it. I pointed to the gallon of ice cream I'd just pulled out of the freezer. Got it. She grabbed the gallon by the handle and nodded toward the door. Let's get out there. I stacked the peach cobbler pans so they didn't get smushed, then followed her out of the beach house. She shut the door behind us and we started down the steps. It was still in the low 80s, but the late afternoon breeze kept it tolerable. Boathouse looks good, she said, as we reached the bottom. Last time I was here, it still had a giant hole in the side. I scoffed. That was almost 2 years ago, which tells you how long it's been. I eyed the spot my Mini Cooper had gone through. We'd long since rebuilt, but I still miss that little car. And the truck. It had been found a few days after the hurricane, thank goodness, and though we'd had to salvage it, I'd gotten back the only two things I'd cared about, both Will's wings
and his dog tags now resided in the bottom drawer of my jewelry chest. Jackson had offered to frame them for me, but it felt right to tuck them away safe and sound.
It's been too long, Sam agreed.
It really had.
You'd think you were still stationed in Colorado instead of Fort Bragg, I teased, hip bumping her as we turned and walked toward the dune steps. She laughed.
We've been there a month. Cut us some slack. I'm sure we'll harass you guys plenty in the next 6 months.
6 months from now, we'd be at our new duty station in Cape Cod. We're keeping the house, so just let me know whenever you guys want to come and use it, I told her as we climbed.
You guys thinking you'll retire here?
That's the idea. We both love it, and Vivian and Bree are both here. The breeze whipped the strands of my hair that had come loose from my braid as we crested the dune. The sight brought an immediate smile to my face. The bonfire was set up, ready to be lit at sunset, and our friends had already staked out their seats. Garrett and Sawyer manned the grill, while Javier lectured and Christina laughed at something her husband had said.
I said I would help, Paisley chided as we carried the food past the giant, empty sunshade and put it on the table.
You're not supposed to be carrying things, Sam lectured.
I'm pregnant, not useless, she grumbled.
And how is little Ms. Bateman? Sam asked, hunching to put her hands on Paisley's growing belly.
I'm still voting he's a Mr. Bateman, Ember stated with a smile.
Sam scoffed.
No way. I'm telling you, this little one is going to skew the scale to the girl side in the Bateman household. Aren't you?
Paisley rolled her eyes.
Whatever this baby is, it's the last in the Bateman household, that's for sure. 3 kids under 5 will be more than enough.
But you make such pretty babies. I pouted, throwing my arm over her shoulder as Sam stood.
Speak for yourself, Morgan Montgomery.
I glanced down at my wedding ring, smiling as it twinkled in the sunlight. It had been over a year, and I still got giddy whenever I heard my new name.
However many we have, you have to admit, they're freaking cute, Ember said with a laugh, pointing toward the beach. And I don't just mean the babies.
My heart melted, and we all headed in their direction. The guys stood in a line, just far enough that waves came over their feet, all decked out with various sizes of baby carriers. Josh stood on the left, wearing his and Ember's 2-year-old Quinn in a rugged framed backpack. Next to him stood Jagger with Annabelle, his and Paisley's 13-month-old in a front carrier. Then came Grayson, who somehow managed to look even bigger with Delaney, his and Sam's 15-month-old, strapped to his chest. Finley walked Peyton through the smaller waves just in front of them. And then there was Jackson. My Jackson. I slipped my hand into his and peeked at our sleeping son, who was tucked away in the sling Jackson wore. Grant was 3 months old, and he was everything. His little breaths were even through his tiny, perfect lips, and Jackson had him completely shielded from the sun as he napped peacefully. We'd named him after Jackson's father, and all 3 of us had fallen in love with those big blue eyes at first sight. Jackson pressed a kiss on my forehead and slid his arm around my waist, pulling me close. He was an amazing father, no news there, and Finley had jumped headfirst into the role of adoring older sister. We were now a family of 4, with 6 pets.
If you wake him, you wear him, Kitty,
he joked in a whisper. I laughed. If the roaring of the ocean and the booming voices of the men beside us didn't wake Grant, nothing would. The kid slept like a champ. You're fixing to have some pretty awkward lines with that thing, I noted, devouring the bare skin of his chest and stomach with my eyes.
You can always lay out naked with me and help them fade.
His lips brushed my ear. A shiver slid down my spine. Jackson Montgomery, we have company. I dropped my jaw and raised my eyebrows in mock indignation. He laughed. Leaning my head away from Grant, I cupped my hands around my mouth.
Finn, there's cobbler.
It had become her favorite dessert this year. Last year it was apple pie, and who knew what she'd pick next summer. Her eyes lit up, and she raced out of the waves, her hands still gripping Peyton's.
Can we get some?
Finn asked, looking up at me with an excited smile.
Fine with me, but he'd better ask his mama. I smoothed back an errant curl.
Aunt Paisley, can Peyton have some cobbler? Finn asked down the line where Paisley stood with Jagger. You want cobbler, right? She asked Peyton like an afterthought. Mama, please? He asked, jumping.
That boy might have looked like Paisley, but he was all Jagger, constantly moving.
It's okay with me, she answered. Yes,
the two exclaimed at the same time. They took off at a run, kicking up sand. A few years ago, I never would have thought I'd be raising my kids with Paisleys, and sometimes the sheer reality of it, the happiness that flooded my heart when we were all together like this, was too much for words. We wouldn't all be together like this again for a while. Jagger had just gotten home, but Josh was headed out one last time in a couple of months, his last appointment before his 6 years was up, and he'd be eligible to get out of the army. Grayson would be gone before Easter. This was a rare, complete moment, and I knew none of us would take it for granted. We'd all learned that we couldn't control the storms in our lives, but we weathered them better when we were together. Phone calls, Skype texts, and visits. We always made time, and I had the feeling that we always would. Friendships like ours, forged in fire, were the kind that lasted. Ember lifted Quinn from the carrier, then took off after the Spitfire toddler when she made a dash for the waves, scooping her up and blowing kisses on her neck. Slowly, everyone but Jackson and I headed back to the barbecue, leaving us alone on our beach.
What are you thinking about?
He asked, stroking my side. How long it will be until we're together like this again? I hooked my arm around his waist and leaned into him.
Bittersweet?
A little, but I'm just happy for the time we have. I looked up at him, and my heart filled to bursting. I'm happy for every day I have with you.
And I'm happy for every night, so we're even.
His smile made me glad I'd passed the 6 week postpartum mark a while ago. I love you too. I rose on my toes and kissed him long and slow. Rotor blades beat through the air and we broke apart, watching as the Jayhawk flew overhead, heading out to sea. My stomach clenched, but it wasn't in fear, even though I knew Jackson wasn't on call. There was always the chance he'd get called in, and I didn't want to miss him for a single second this weekend. Do you think they'll need you? I asked as the bird grew smaller and smaller. When I tilted my head to look up at him, I found his eyes already on me.
No.
He cupped my face and pressed a soft kiss to my lips.
I'm right where I need to be.
God, I love this man.
Daddy! Finley yelled. I saved our seats!
She pointed to the beach chairs she'd claimed.
Will...
Jackson started to yell, then glanced down at Grant and thought better of it. Go ahead. I'll be right over, I assured him, letting my hand trail down his side where two more coordinates had been inked. The first led to the very spot we were standing now, where we'd first met. The second, the hospital where Grant had been born.
Don't be too long,
he said softly. You going to miss me?
Nah,
he smirked, and I felt it between my thighs. The man was lethal.
I'm just not sure I can keep our daughter from eating your share of the cobbler.
I shook my head as he threw me a wink and walked away, cradling our son carefully. The water was cool as it washed over my sun-warmed feet, and I let the peace of the moment sink in and fill my soul. My toes brushed against something hard, and I bent down, scooping the object free and letting the water rinse the sand away. It was a piece of green sea glass, the size of my thumb. Its edges were soft and worn, much like the pendant I wore around my neck. I smiled softly at my find, then tossed it underhand back into the sea.
Why did you do that?
Finn asked, appearing at my side. So someone else can find it. I glanced from my daughter to the water where the glass had disappeared. Maybe one day it would turn up at the feet of another broken-hearted girl, and speak to her the way countless pieces had spoken to me. as I'd carefully rebuilt myself.
Her brows puckered. You don't want it?
I think someone might need it more than I do. I have enough. I took her hand and smiled.
As we walked back to the barbecue, I looked out over our little crowd. Jagger, Paisley, and their kids were camped out in a set of chairs, with Ember, Josh, and Quinn taking the next set over. On the other side, Grayson held both Sam and Delaney in his lap as he pretended to eat his daughter's cheeks, much to her delight. Jackson glanced tenderly at our son, then smiled at us as we made our way to him. I had more than enough. I had everything I'd ever wanted.
This concludes The Reality of Everything by Rebecca Yarros, narrated by C.J. Bloom and Teddy Hamilton. Copyright 2020 by Rebecca Yarros. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Rebecca Yarros, care of the Bent Agency, and was produced in the year 2024 by Tantor Media Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books, which holds the copyright thereto. Please visit Tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.